Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
Good morning! You know what I brought with me today? I brought with me a very old skill. How many of you have a skill at home? Put up your hand. Come on! Actually, everybody have a skill at home. My question is, how many of you do take an effort to stand on the skill? Not many. Just like me. You know what I like to use my skill for? When I'm traveling, to make sure that I don't carry excess luggage. In fact, when I stand on this skill, I do not like my wife to be next to me. Because if she sees what is that reading, it will determine my enjoyment or my suffering. That means she will say what I can eat and what I cannot eat. So I like to take this skill, you know, when I stand on it when I'm alone. I know my grandson comes to my room very often in the early morning, and he would like to stand on the skill. And the one that I have at my house is the battery-operated one. So when you stand on it, it lights up. And he will say 17.5, and he's so happy. Every time he stands, he says something because the figure is there. He's so happy. But I don't know about how many of you, when you stand on your skill, you're happy. How heavy do you think I am? Henry, well, you can read, Henry. Come, Henry. Can read. How heavy am I? Tell everybody how heavy am I?
52 kilo.
52 kilo. You know, I like the old skill, because the old skill has where you can adjust to minus 10, minus 20. So I actually adjust to minus 15. But you know that in the world, they want to put us on the scale. Do you know that? Each time when someone sees you, they have a perception of who you are. And they put you on the scale. They won't tell you that. In fact, the world is always trying to change God's scale. How many realize that? They are always trying to adjust God's skill so that is what? Here. I have adjusted, it cannot be adjusted back. You know, the world is always trying to change the skill of God. We are trying to always to change the standard of God. But I want you to know that God's skill never changes. God's skill is His word. His word never changed. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The law of God, the commandment of God, the requirement of God that is written in the Bible will never change. Even though the world always tries to change. And it's so easy for us to allow the world to change the skill. We should never allow. So this morning, my message is from Daniel chapter 5, 22 to verse 30. I am wait. This passage is about a king. His name was Belshazzar. In fact, this passage tells us that this king has everything he ever wanted. He knew how to enjoy life. Eat, drink, and be merry. And he really know how to call a party. So one day, according to this passage, he called a party. He called a party, and in the party time, he invited all his friends. He did bring out all the treasure that he has. But only thing, that on the day when he had this party, God said to him, "Hey, I have weighed you. I have put you into my scale. And when I put you into my scale, it doesn't balance out. It doesn't balance out." You know, they said that the scale does not lie. When you stand there, when he said that you are 90, you are 90, unless you can adjust it. The scale tells the truth. And God said that, look, you may be a great king, you may be a very powerful and rich king, I put you on the scale, and it doesn't balance up. In fact, when I put you onto my scale, I found you wanting, lacking, and you did not measure up. I find that there was something lacking in you. In fact, when God put him on the scale, God said this, "Your time is up." Let me tell you, he has lived a good life. He has enjoyed himself. But he was not prepared to meet his maker. The Bible tells us that he died at 62. When I look at this king, Belshazzar, when I look at his life, it puzzles me. I mean, I don't think he could ever imagine that God would wait him. He didn't expect it to be wait, but it did happen. God waited him, and he could not escape. He could not say to God, "God, I don't want to stay on the scale. I refuse to stay on the scale." He could not say no. He has no choice. His life, his action, his words, his choice was wait on God's scale. It was out of his control. And when he stand on God's scale, it did not go well with him. So when I read about his life, I asked myself, what can I learn about this man when he stand on God's scale? What can I learn from him? There are three things that I can learn from him and you can learn from him. God's say to him, "You never learn from history." Look at verse 22. Verse 22. "But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this." God said, "You have stand, I have measured you on this scale, and you never learn from history. You never learn from what you knew." So what did he knew? There is no excuse for being ignorant. And definitely there is no excuse for those who know and do not learn from it. God hold him responsible and accountable for the things that he knew. He could not excuse himself or talk himself out of it. He was weak. He is unbalanced. It does not look good on him. He knew about history, but he never learned about history. So God said, "You stand on the scale, you knew about history, you never learned about history." So what was the history? He's the grandson of King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember him. His grandfather was raised by God, you know, and God gave him a great empire. And in the peak of his success and prosperity, the Bible tells us that he looked up to heaven. And when he looked up to heaven and he saw his wealth, instead of saying, "God, I thank you There must be a creator up there who has given me all this thing. He looked up to heaven. I prayed, got into him. And he looked up to heaven and he said, I did it myself. I make it. I'm a self-made king. You see, earlier God did warn King Nebuchadnezzar in the dream that pride would destroy him. He forgot about the dream. You know, God is a good God. He always gives us warning, but sometimes we just don't care about it. Don't care about it until something big happened. And this is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. God gave him a dream. He didn't care about it. He said, it's nothing to do with me. But that time, when he looked up to heaven and said, wow, what a great man I am. Look at the success. Look at my empire. Look at everything I have. I have done it. I did it. It's my way. The minute he looked up to heaven, and when pride sink in, the Bible talk about pride. First, pride. Then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. So when pride enter in, when he looked up to heaven and said, I did it. It's all about me. He came crashing down, tumbling down. The mighty has fallen. The scripture say, when he looked up in heaven and did not acknowledge God, he lost his mind, he lost his throne, he lost everything. And not only he lost everything, overnight he became a madman. And lived among the animals. What a humbling experience. A man of power, a man of prestige, a man of position to be nothing, to become the dirt of the earth. You see, there's one thing about pride. The higher you are, the harder is the fall. And there is no soft landing for the prideful. They land fast, they land hard, and they land painful. It's not what a feeling. It is what a pain. So his grandfather was brought down very low. In fact, the Bible said for 7 years, 7 years is a long time. 7 years he was eating the grass like the oxes, fighting with the ox to eat the grass. I don't know what nutrition there is on the grass. He stayed out. His body was wet with dew. His hair grew like eagle feather. And his nail grew like bird's claw. And when he was in that position for 7 years, what a humbling way to be. A king on the throne became like an animal on the ground. The Bible put this story to tell us that such thing can happen to any person with pride. It was on that 7 year that he looked up to heaven. God is a good God, don't you think so? That God do not leave him that way, condemn him that way. On the 7 year, when he looked up to heaven, you know, and when he looked up to heaven and acknowledged that what he had before, everything that he has before, was the doing of God. In my life, I have seen how the mighty has fallen. I have seen how the successful and the prosperous and the rich lost everything because of one word called what? Pride. And as he looked up to heaven and acknowledged God, you are the one, the Bible says, because his heart repented. And God is such a great God, such a merciful God, that immediately King Nebuchadnezzar was restored. His mind came back, his health came back. He was reinstated to the throne. And in his last days, the closing word of King Nebuchadnezzar, and it's a lesson to all of us, young and old. This is what he said in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. And those who walk in pride, he is able to what? Put down. That God, according to James, according to Peter, 1 Peter 5, verse 5 to verse 6, God opposed the pride, the proud, but give grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And this is what the Bible always teaches us. When I look at myself on the scale, I realize my own lack. But I know one thing. Grace comes to those who seek him. Help comes to those who depend on him. And his grandson, Belshazzar, his grandson, the Bible said, knew all this. He knew what has happened to his grandfather. He knew about history, but he did not learn from the past. He did not learn from the mistakes and the failures of others. How about you? The privilege of knowing and the responsibility of doing and living with what you know is one. It cannot be a separate issue. To know him is to make him known. To know the truth is to live and walk in the truth. To know history is to learn from history. If you don't learn from your past mistake, if you don't learn from history, you don't learn from the failures of others, you will repeat it again and again and again in your life. I like the words from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 12 about history. How we need to learn from history and not refuse to learn from history, because we are not above history. History warns us about what next, what we can do to avoid any painful history for ourselves and others. This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 to verse 12. These are all warning marks, danger in our history book, written down so that we do not repeat their mistake. Our position in the story are peril. They are the beginning, we are the end, and we are just as capable of messing it up as they are, as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You are not exempt. You would fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It is useless. Cultivate God's confidence. Important for us to learn from what? History. To learn from the past. And if you look in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, there are a lot of history. History about people. People and their life. The mistake they make. The pain they go through. Of course, there's also history about their success and how God has blessed them. If I want to learn from history, I want to make sure I learn from the good and the bad so that I can become what? Good in how I live my life. Because the Bible tells us that all these things that is written in the Bible is for what? Our learning. It's for our warning, so that we do not fall into the same trap as they fall. History. Oh, most of us here are fathers and mothers and grandparents. We look at our children growing up. We see the mistake they make, how they want to fight their own way. We have been there before, realize that? We have been there before. And we tell ourselves, why? I remember when my daughter was a teenager. You know, teenager go through quite a challenging time. So I decided to go to family services. I went to family services to get, they have a pamphlet about bringing up teenagers. I went there to get that pamphlet, how to cope with teenager. And I read one of the points there, is that all teenagers will say that you as a parent is too hard this, too hard that. And the parents said this, eventually when they become parents, they'll do the same. What a comfort. Because it's true. We must learn from history. And history always tells us that the mistake that other people make, we don't have to make it. But this king, Belshazzar, he never learned from history. He refused to learn from history, the past and the mistake and the failures of others. Maybe he thought, this is one of the syndrome that people have. Well, it will never happen to me. People think that. It will never happen to me. I, you know, these people, they will get into trouble. This is what happened to them. But for me, it will never happen to me. That is called what? You know what is that called? That is called deception. And there's nothing more dangerous than self-deception. We need to learn from history. And one of the good ways we can learn from history is that God has put us in the family so that we are able to what? Help each other to grow. So that we are able to encourage each other and also able to warn each other so that we will be able to walk in the right path of righteousness. And I pray that you will go to a powerhouse or a support group and you will become men and women, brother and sister, that are iron sharpening iron, helping each other to learn from history and from others so that we can progress and grow in our life. His first mistake is that he never learned from history. The second mistake that he made was he never learned to give glory to God. In verse 23, and you have lift up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessel of his house before you. And you and your Lord, your wife and your concubine had drunk wine from them. And you have praised the God of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which you do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand, and all your ways you have not glorified. This is the problem with this man. He's a king. He could have anything and everything he desired. He was wealthy and powerful to buy and to take anything he wanted. This was his philosophy. If you want it, get it. If you feel good, do it. The same philosophy that is penetrating our society. Do anything and everything to please just one person. And who is that one person? That one person is you. You become God. This is what happened to him. He became God. He thinks he is God. He did not have to work. He did not have to fight. It was all given to him because of his grandfather. Instead of giving glory like his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, who praised and exalted and honored the King of Heaven. This king, King Belshazzar, lift himself up against God. His pride begins to lift himself up. His pride begins to cover his eyes. His pride begins to cover his mind. And so, he gave glory not to God. He gave glory to who? Himself. He gave glory to others. He called them for a party. He gave glory to things. The silver, the bronze, the gold, and the wood, and the stone. And he refused to give glory to God, who gave him the first breath, the next breath, and the last breath. Instead of praising God for his wealth, for the success. Instead of doing that, who is God who has given him his breath, the breath giver, his next breath depends on God. No matter how rich, how powerful, and how successful he was, he still needs his next breath. And his next breath comes from who? Not from his wealth. His next breath comes from who? From God. You see, Romans chapter 11 verse 36 tells us, everything comes from God alone. Everything lived by his power, and everything is for his glory. So, the Bible tells us that he forgot to give glory to who? Glory to God. Don't forget to give glory to God. Recognize that everything you have is from God. Give him the glory, give him the praise. Everything that you are is from God. He forgot that. So how do we give glory to God? Worship him. Worship him is one way we can give glory to God, because we were created for one purpose. We were created to give glory to God. We were created to give praise to God. And so when we forgot to worship God and forgot to recognize that he is God, we make who God? We make ourselves God. He forgot to give glory to God. You give glory to God by worshiping him. You give glory to God by living for him. You see, everything that he has, his gold, his silver, his position, everything that he has, he did it for only one person, for himself. He lived for himself. He used it for himself, for his family, for his friend. But none for who? None for God. The end, what happened? He lost all of them. You give glory to God by being like Jesus. We give glory to God when we become more and more like Christ. What is God's purpose? God's purpose is not your fatness, say amen. God's purpose is not prosperity. God's purpose is that you may be conformed into the image of his Son. That is God's purpose. So, remember, our first breath comes from who? Our second breath comes from who? God. Our last breath comes from who? God. If he rehold the breath, we are finished. So that's why we give glory to God. In him, we live, we move, and have our being. Our whole being. Hello, Gavin. It's good to see you back. Our whole being comes from God. So it's so important for us to learn to give glory to God by worshiping him, by living for him, by being like his Son. And how does that happen? You see, in life, things will happen. You like it or not, things will happen. But when things happen, ask not the why, but the how. Many of us like to ask why. We all like to ask why. Why God? Why? If you want to give glory to God, don't ask the why. Ask the how. How can I let this situation help me to give glory to God? How can I help this? Let this situation help me to become more Christ-like? Because every time when we ask why, we go into a deeper hole. How many of you realize that? We all like to ask why. Little children, how many, if you got little children, they always like to ask why. You explain to them, they will still ask you why. You give them an answer, out of the answer, they still ask why. But they never ask how. You and I, if we want to be transformed to be like Jesus, don't ask why, ask how. The how question can change you. The how question. So I want you to recognize that you don't give glory to God automatically. It is a decision that you make is a choice, a conscious choice and effort that you will say that I will give glory to God. If I don't give glory to God, then I'm stealing the glory from God. Neither we are giving glory to God or we are stealing glory from God. And the Bible tells us that God will not share His glory with who? With anyone. Let's learn to give glory to God. Let's learn always to give glory to God, to acknowledge Him. Because the glory belongs to God. Many in our world today are just like this king, Belshazzar. They glory in themselves. They glory in what they have and achieve. They glory in creation. They glory the wisdom and success of self. But they give no glory to God who give them the first breath, their next breath, and their last breath. After all, life is only one breath away, and all breath comes from God, the breath giver. So give glory to who? To God. The last thing you need to learn from his life is this. Learn that judgment is sure. Verse 25 to 28. And while they were having a party, a finger appeared, and the finger wrote on the wall. And this is the inscription that was written. Menech, Menech, Tek, Basin. This is what this word means. Menech. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to the end. Tek. You have been weighed on the scale and found one thing. Peris. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persian. We need to recognize one thing. That judgment is for sure. We live in a world. They say that there is no God. If there is no God, then there is no what? There is no judgment. If there is no judgment, there is no heaven, there is no hell. So it doesn't matter how you live, because the end, you die, that's it. That's the lie. Because my Bible tells me there is a God. He's the creator, he's the maker. And one day, he will make us all accountable for how we live. Our life journey will end one day. And when that happens, the Bible says, it is appointed for man to die once. But after this, the judgment. Life journey prepare us for the judgment. This is what Ecclesiastes say in chapter 12, verse 13 to 14. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. I'm telling you, the Bible talks about a judgment that is to come. You know, if we don't talk about the judgment is to come, then people will start to live the life the way they want to live, because what is it after that? Nothing. But the Bible talks about there is a judgment that is to come. And because the judgment is to come, how I live my life is important. How I live my life. One day I have to give account of my life. And worst of all, as a pastor, I have to give an account of your life. You know that? Hello? That's what the Bible says. As a pastor, we are responsible for them. We have to give an account for them. When God said, you know, I want to talk to you about Henry, I cannot tell. Which Henry are you talking about, God? I can't. He said, so the Bible talks about everyone has to give an account. But for us who is believers, this is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done, whether in the body, whether good or bad. That this is quite clear, that for us as Christians, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Our sin is forgiven. Say amen. But we have to give account of what we do with this body. How I use this body. You see, all sin is used by this body. Good also this body. No good also this body do. So the Bible tells that I have to give an account before the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian, I will give account before God. And that is where we see whether we are going to get our reward or we are going to lose our reward. One of the book of Jude said this, that some believers will just manage to squeeze to heaven. But every work that they have done has been burned. Every word has been burned. That's what the Bible says. But what about people who do not know Jesus Christ? Non-believers. Revelation says something which is quite frightening. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to verse 15, it talks about the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. Then the book was opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they have done, as recorded in the book. Wow! That everything that is done is recorded in the book. Hey, you think our computer here is fantastic, able to keep so much information? Think about God, who is the creator of everything. The Bible tells us clearly that everything will be recorded. In fact, something the Bible says, the sea give up its dead, the death and the grave give up their dead, and all will be judged according to their deed. Wow. Know one thing for sure, judgment is real. And if judgment is real, then what does the Bible say in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? Let a man what? Examine himself. I think it's important for us, each individual here, always to examine ourselves. We are not perfect. We are not sinless. I like the song that was sang. Yes, I may have sinned, I may have fallen. The thing is because I keep on what? Pressing on. I keep on seeking for Him. That's the important part. And I understand this skill. I'm thankful that every time when I have communion, I can examine myself. And I think we need to recognize the seriousness of communion. Like a man examine himself. Not for self-condemnation, say amen. God wants us to examine ourselves so that if the weight tells us, gee, your intention and your motive, your heart is going cold. You know, winter is a time where we don't want to wake up early. Not only for church, but also for work. You know, so it's something here need some shaking, some adjustment as I stand in this skill. God, help me by your grace to adjust it. How you like that? And if you wait yourself, you examine yourself all the time, you don't have to wait for the day when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I am weak. I stand on the balance. And one day I'm going to stand on the balance. I want God to say to me, well done. Not, you stand on the weight. I found you wanting, lacking. You don't measure up. Every time when God speaks to your heart, make it right. Would you? Make it right. Big thing or small thing, as long as God speaks to your heart, make it right. You're struggling with your spouse, make it right. You're struggling with your brother and sister, make it right. Always make it right. So that each time when you stand on the scale, you make it right. Then you find the power of grace to free you. That you should be the most free person. Amen. Why don't we pray? Thank you, Lord.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.